Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Top Stories. I am, once again, Andy Zaltzman. In December 2018, I surrounded myself with New School Buglers, Nish Kumar, Tiff Stevenson and Matt Ford to look at a baffling week, in a baffling year, in a baffling decade, in a baffling millennium, in a baffling eternity for UK politics. It was episode 4091 of The Bugle, entitled Brex Race Becks. Top story this week, well, we've already touched on it, Britain has been absolutely devouring itself. I'll just do a quick summary. Theresa May is still Prime Minister at the end of this week of drama. We still have absolutely no idea what's going to happen with Brexit. No one knows what's going on, but everyone knows whatever is going on is not going on as it should be going on. People are still formulatingly stroppy that Brexit is going to happen too soft, too hard, too at all, too soon, too not soon, too anything. The public is united in wanting the government to just get on with it or not get on with it, whatever it may be, and respect the will of the people by going through with a 2016 referendum, or respect the will of the people by holding another referendum, or just invade Portugal to give us all something else to think about. Or send a battalion of giant mechanical robot Vera Lynns around the country to sing us all soothingly to sleep with a collection of patriotic wartime lullabies. In summary, Britain is a f***ing nincompoop. Discuss. So, Matt, as our resident Westminster correspondent...
Right, oh, lovely. That's promotion.
How would you... summarise what has unfolded.
Matthew, sort of for the listener's benefit, immediately started rubbing his eyes like he'd immediately burst into tears.
Well, it's more of a face of excitement, because I watch the Parliament Channel nearly every day.
Fully erect.
Fully erect, bollock naked, windows open, heating on full blast.
Weirdly, it has the opposite effect on me. It's like it's healed over.
I follow it. I love it. I love all the sort of dramas and all the backroom deals. We're going to have a vote on the withdrawal agreement.
Yep.
Which I don't know if you've read. I've downloaded the 585 page. I've read some of it. I've read the 37 page political statement that accompanies it. And what is immediately clear, even if you have no knowledge of European law, is that it is so vague it is useless.
Right.
The whole thing is, we will commit to finding a solution to this. We will endeavour to find, with our best intentions, we will try and resolve. There is no, really, apart from the Irish backstop, which is the major stumbling block, the rest of it is so vague as to be meaningless. There's a bit in it
that's
about...
That's actually a review from my 2013 Edinburgh show.
I mean, that's it. They've copied and pasted Nisha's review. It's like a rack all over again. There are bits in it that are really worrying about, particularly security, which is a fear we should all, you know, be alive to. And it says, from now on, this is part of the political agreement, from now on, Britain will only be consulted in informal meetings.
Right.
Now, I don't know how you talk about security in an informal way. How many tourists have you guys got? Yeah, we got shitloads. I don't know how this is going to be. Right. So already, there are
informal meetings
signs.
Are basically just parties, essentially, isn't it? So you've got to shout it over the disco.
Oh, that's a good idea, yeah, right. Just a sort of drinks reception. Yeah.
Scribble it on the back of
security.
A backpack here.
So she knew there was no parliamentary majority for her deal, yet she was stubbornly saying she was going to put it to the floor of the House of Commons anyway. The one sense of wisdom she'd exercised this week was to not put it down and therefore avoid a defeat. However, what that meant was, on the other side, the Tory MPs, who need a minimum of 48 MPs of the parliamentary party, 15% of them, to write to the chair of the 1922 committee, which is the backbench group of Conservative MPs chaired by Sir Graham Brady. He keeps that number secret, but once it's 48, he publicly declares it. They then have a no-confidence vote. They have a confidence motion in Theresa May. She gets 200 in her favour, 117 against, which is two-thirds of the parliamentary party. So it's a good enough victory, but it's also a third of them have voted against her. And what a lot of the Brexiteers will say is that is basically the payroll vote. All the cabinet are going to back her.
Yeah.
All the ministers are going to back her and all the junior ministers.
And the 1922 committee, not an indie band that I haven't heard of.
Yeah, the 1922 committee is maybe the only organisation in Britain whiter than most indie bands.
And, I mean, just in terms of Tories not doing their numbers properly, it was formed in 1923. That's just a great... Even the history of the group is steeped in, you know, innumerate politics.
Was it off the back of Ireland becoming a republic?
It was on the back of the 1922 election. So after that, they decided they needed a proper arrangement. So you have the Parliamentary Labour Party. It's basically the backbenchers. Since 2010...
You're being very diplomatic, Matt. It's the fucking weirdos.
It's the weirdos. Well, that's the ERG, which are like another group.
They're the weirdos within the weirdos. The 1922 committee, which was formed in 1923 under the Prime Ministership of Bona Law, has had a meeting this week to determine whether the Prime Minister will continue to stand, resulting in someone getting so angry in Parliament that they picked up a mace as a sign of disrespect. Yeah. So just to be clear, we are not a real... This is... Fucking Narnia dog shit.
Does the final vote rest with Soggy Biscuit?
Oh, my God.
The mace thing is bizarre, isn't it? Or matter of context, I suppose. Because if I grab mace, it's probably because I'm in fear of my life.
Yeah.
Walking home from the station.
So what are the regulations on mace grabbing in the House of Commons?
Well, you're not allowed to...
Just explain what happened. It was...
Lloyd Russell Moyle, I can't remember which order his names go in, but it's an assemblance of those three, is a very passionate new... when I say new Labour, I mean he's recent rather than sensible. Right. So he picked up the... So the House can only sit when the mace is placed on that sort of bench in front of the Speaker's chair. So once it's removed, the proceedings of the House are effectively not official. And there's a parliamentary precedent for this. Michael Heseltine got his name Tarzan by picking up the mace during a famous debate. Right. The last person to do it was John McDonnell, who did it over Heathrow Expansion when Labour in government. And now... Russell Lloyd, has picked this thing. It's a real shame for him, because the week before he gave a really moving speech on how he was living with HIV, and I think the only member of Parliament to talk openly about it, Chris Smith, had done in the 90s, but I think he's the only person to really bring it to the floor of the House of Commons as a sufferer of it. So he's got this huge constituency of people out there that go, wow, who's this really moving bloke? And then a week later, basically...
He's Mace Boy.
He's a Mace Boy. Has a tantrum. You know, and the Speaker of the House, John Bercow, says, bring it back! And he sort of says no. And then one of the ladies from the Sergeant Arms Office just so easily takes it back off.
Doesn't that kind of summarise Brexit? someone grabbing a thing, then not really knowing what to do with it.
Yeah. And then hopefully putting it back.
Well, what's astonishing about it is that Theresa May, in terms of the wider Brexit ramifications, Theresa May won, like you say, by 200 to 117. So that's a 58% confidence vote, which compared to the Brexit vote is in fact a landslide. But Jacob Rees-Mogg has claimed without any irony that this vote is not enough of a mandate for Theresa May to continue as Prime Minister. And the only way at this point that he could be less self-aware is if he described Mr. Burns from The Simpsons as being a thin, rich prick.
Well, also the tweet that he put out when he did, because he said which way, and I do love for Theresa, she went from no confidence whatsoever to full confidence within a matter of hours. It was like she must have read Cosmo Sex Tips. But he tweeted, didn't he, saying, Ave Aquavale, which does sound like some kind of northern spring water. with an Ave Aquavale. But like, I don't, since when has tossing around Latin phrases made anyone more likable? Even Stephen Fry can't get away with it. I like to be...
Try telling that to the pilot.
I like to be relatable, Andy. That's my modus operandi. Right. But yeah. he came off so awfully. Like, I feel, you know, at points throughout this, I've felt quite bad for Theresa May. Then I remember who she is and her voting record. Mm. And then every now and then I think, wow, you know, even within your own party, you've just got people like Rees-Mogg, like kind of just hovering, waiting. But Boris and Rees-Mogg, you know.
I do sort of weirdly have a lot of, I mean... I do not like her, but the woman who puts the Prime Minister into the phrase, how the f*** is Theresa May still Prime Minister, deserves some respect for her ability to simultaneously win and lose things. Like, it's a real incredible art with the last general election, with this no confidence vote, that she has technically won, but somehow... morally seems to have lost. It's like winning Strictly, but only because all the other dancers get violent diarrhea. Like, there's an element of default that really hangs over her.
Well, the result, as you say, 200 to 117, as I like to think of it, the number of tests played by Sachin Tendulkar versus the number of tests played by David Gower. 117, also, of course, the highest test score ever made by a test match number 10. Which, of course, ironically, is where Theresa May currently lives. Let me cling to what I know about that. Of course, is scored by Walter Reed for England versus Australia. Reed being something that no one has done with that 585-page document. At the Oval in August 1884, which by coincidence is the year to which Jacob Rees-Mogg would like Britain to return. 200, the number of wickets taken by Australian pace bowler Geoff Thompson, whose international career, ironically, lasted a little bit too long after he'd really lost his edge. I mean, that's not a valid comparison with Theresa May, because Thompson was, of course, good to start with. But it is a valid comparison because Geoff Thompson made English people terrified about what was about to happen. Am I taking this too far? Yes. But the point is, 200 to 117, Sajid Javid said it was a clear win for May. But the problem is, it's a clear win, but they're all supposed to be on the same team. Yeah. So if you're a football manager... If you're a football manager, the opposition scores a goal and four of your 11 players join in the celebration, you have problems.
It's the way the numbers in politics are so important, obviously, not just getting a simple majority so that you win or don't win or whatever it is. But what you always get in these scenarios is different sides briefing about different thresholds. Now, all she needed was 50% plus one. Obviously, that would have been a disaster were it to be that close. But I remember when I worked for the party, we'd go to these election counts and you'd be given... awful lines to have to take. So actually 2,000 losses actually represents progress for the Labour Party. But this is actually a great night. It's tantamount to the disrespect the public hold for David Cameron that they haven't given him 100,000 victories tonight. And you have to spin these bizarre... And what happens is you start spinning early, so you have to say, actually... you know, and a lot of people around her were saying, all she needs is more than 50%, which would have been awful.
Yeah.
So then anything more than that, you just plant it in the public's mind and people go, well, actually, 50% is the threshold. It's totally, obviously, that was the real threshold. But beyond that, it isn't. You're absolutely right. To have so many of her own team, that said...
Some Derren Brown shit, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah. You have to just lodge in people's minds what is really going on. And obviously both sides will have different things, which is why the 200 number was so significant for her, because she got 199 of them to back her for the Tory leadership. So what they're actually saying is...
She's one up.
Which is 0.5% more popular. After 2 years of actual government, she's 0.5% more popular on her own backbenches.
Not many prime ministers can say that.
It's growing faster than the economy, so at least there's a...
What I'm really enjoying about all of this is that obviously this poses an existential threat to our entire nation because our country's supposed to be negotiating a Brexit position. And what I really like is that under threat, Andy has responded like one of those animals in nature that like curls itself up into a ball, except you've just wrapped yourself in cricket statistics and sport analogies.
Wrap yourself into a cricket ball.
It's a comfortable cocoon.
Don't pick at the seams. But didn't she compare herself to, or one point, did she mention boycott?
Yeah, she has. Jeff Boycott is her favourite cricketer. Now, for our tragically non-cricket obsessed listeners, not only do you have my continued sympathy, but Jeffrey Boycott was renowned as he was a very good player, but also an incredibly defensive player.
Yeah.
Renowned for his absolute refusal to entertain the paying public.
Yeah.
Like Theresa, then.
Very much.
Thank you for listening. For more from Tiff, go and listen to her wonderful show, Catharsis, right now available at thebuglepodcast.com and elsewhere.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real, frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.